Well, believe it or not, this was the opening to last night's 1 millionth annual Academy Awards, as I was heard it referred to last night. A very strange opening. I guess successful. People seem to have liked it. I enjoyed it.
It was a great way to start. Adam Lambert cannot hold a torch to Freddie Mercury. I'm sorry.
See, it's funny you say that, because I was going to say, not that he can hold a torch to Freddie Mercury, but that he fit in. And I'm not an Adam Lambert fan. I thought he did pretty nicely.
So would you prefer, I did too, Steve, would you prefer somebody who just sounded more like him? Or what were you looking for in a room? Because you can't replace Freddie Mercury. It's impossible.
He's not going to do it.
Right.
Well, he has huge range, though. He didn't really show it last night, but he can kick it way high and way low. And he was not doing that last night. I mean, he was great. But he just didn't show. The songs didn't show it off enough, I thought. They should have been longer.
Well, can I suggest a name to you? Mel Torme, Wendy.
Listen.
You get Mel Torme in there doing some Queen songs, you got a show.
Freddie Mercury sang like an angel. An angel.
Yes, he did.
So Adam Lambert has a lot of vibrato and is very, like, kind of metal-y in his approach to Queen.
Right.
Not bad.
Right.
Just, it's so tough to...
Not that he could ever show up, Freddie Mercury, but right. He probably didn't want to shine too much, right? Because it wasn't
Adam Lambert didn't?
Adam Lambert.
Right.
He looked like he was trying to shine.
I can't believe I'm defending him. I know, but I mean, you know what I'm saying.
I think he was nervous, if you want to know the truth.
Possibly.
That's what I think.
It's a lot
Why
to be nervous
Why don't they have
about?
Gaga do it? She could sing that. Her voice is just magical.
You have to save her for the golden moment of sitting down at the piano with Bradley Cooper. You can't tamper with that. You know that's going to be what everybody's talking about the next day, if done properly, you know?
Should have had Rami Malek do it.
Now, he didn't sing,
he
which
did not do his own singing.
I know,
didn't find out till after I saw the movie. I thought the rumor was... He sang, and he might have sung at that one point where he was kind of auditioning for them by the broken down van.
Yeah,
but
there's a studio guy they got to come in and dub all of Freddie Mercury's singing, who sounds exactly like him. I don't know the man's name, but he's amazing. But other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play?
I did not miss a host. I got to be honest with you.
I did and I didn't. You know, they did a smart thing. I knew they had to put somebody out there, and they had three somebodies out there. Three of the funniest people in show business were out there. Tina Fey.
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Maya Rudolph.
What happened to you? You just blanked?
I'm still sleeping. I was up very late last night.
Who was in the third episode of The Partridge Family in 1971?
That I can do.
Right.
I can do that all day long. But so they kind of were surrogate hosts, as they did a bit about what they won't be doing as hosts. That, you know, that was
that
a clever
was
way of saying, look, we got a host, but they're not really a host. But, you know, everybody said it made for a quicker show, and it did make a quicker show, but I still missed. Like, I could have had more of the three of them. I would have been fine with another 5 minutes of that. That would have been fine by me.
I was ready to move on.
Really? Yeah.
It was so nice for the show to be over. What? It was like 10, 20, 10, 15?
It was 3 hours and 10 minutes. It was really quick.
There were some people there that I was surprised to see.
Like who?
I feel bad. I don't follow tennis, so was that Venus or
well,
Serena?
You had that. You had Musgraves. You had a couple people who were not in movies presenting, and I think that's the Academy's way of trying to reach out and say, we want other... There was a politician. There was a little bit of every stage of life just to say... Look, it's not just the movies. It's fun. Come on. Everybody, come on in.
More inclusive.
It was much... Oh, it was so inclusive. I mean, almost every presenting team or every winner had somebody, you know, from another area. Yeah, that was very nice to see.
And do you love Spike Lee or does he bug you? Because I
both.
Love him.
I'm right on both.
Yep. I'm with you, Bill. His speech was great. I loved him, you know, jumping up and giving the bear hug. And then he tried to storm out at the end?
Yes. Do you know the story, Wendy?
Yes.
He was not happy that Black Klansman did not win, and even less happy that it was Green Book. So apparently he headed for the exits, and they had to convince him to please go and sit down, that the show is not over
Although,
yet.
What if it was a bathroom emergency?
It wasn't.
I know, but what if it was?
He wanted out. And then even at the, I don't know if you heard much of the press conference afterwards.
It was funny.
He
made
was
up
very
for it.
Funny and very honest, but you could tell he felt slighted. He said the refs made a bad call in a reference to his love of basketball. But and I'm sure everyone feels that way when you have high hopes for your movie and you're nominated for an Academy Award and you think, wow, I could win an Academy Award, and then you don't. So I give him credit for being honest. But then by the same token, you go, you got to give in to the fact that
I wish everybody would act like that. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
It really was.
Yes.
And then when he said he's always lost to a movie where somebody's driving.
Yeah, that was super funny. Hilarious.
That's very funny. Now, I almost put him in that bracket. You know, for years and years and years, when you watched the Academy Awards, Jack Nicholson sat somewhere there in the auditorium, and he was the coolest guy in the room. And whoever was either hosting or presenting, every once in a while would go, is Jack laughing? Is Jack enjoying it? And they'd look over, and he'd be wearing sunglasses and sprawled out on a chair. So Hollywood's been looking for a guy to be the new Jack Nicholson. I don't know that it's Spike Lee, but he came close last night.
You know, it was Harvey Weinstein for a while.
For a little while it was. Yeah. For a moment, Hollywood wants to forget.
Yeah.
I love purple. Evidently, so does Spike Lee. But he looked like he was Prince's cab driver. It was not.
Somewhere Joan Rivers is smiling, Wendy. That was very Joan Rivers-y.
Can we talk?
Wow.
But I still love him. I just love his enthusiasm. The movie was really good.
BlacKkKlansman was really good.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah. Right. There's nothing wrong with some honesty, but by Hollywood standards, you know, you're in a room full of actors. You have to act like you're happy for the winner. If you want to see some good acting,
watch Glenn Close.
I swear to you, watch Glenn Close's face as they don't say her name.
Right. It was like she was doing the role again.
Yes.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see the movie.
It was really good.
It's about someone else getting well.
She was the favorite, correct?
That was
an upset.
A heavy favorite, and they. You know, they do the thing where all the nominees' faces are next to each other, so you have the fun of watching them react. And Glenn Close was already, you know, and you've seen this happen. Michael Keaton is famous for this, for Birdman, where he was all, you could see it on his face. Well, here I go to clip my, what did they say? Whose name did they say? That didn't sound like my name.
They clipped his wings.
So she gave the look of, oh, I'm still very happy, didn't win, but yay.
Seventh time, I think.
Yeah.
Who votes on this? Who's the Academy?
Well, it's different for different categories. Like for cinematography, only cinematographers can vote. But for like best picture, best director, it's everybody in the industry who's a member of the Academy gets to vote. So, and some you have a very narrow, like when you get down to documentaries and animated films, it's a very narrow bunch, but once you get to best actor, best actress, best producer, best pick, then it's everybody.
And didn't they open it up a little bit recently?
Yeah.
Because of the inclusiveness of it?
Yes. Because the complaint was, boy, it's a lot of old white guys voting.
Right.
I know Adam Lambert tours with Queen as the lead vocalist. I realize that's why he was out there. I have seen Freddie Mercury twice and have been to see Queen with Adam Lambert. He was stunningly good in concert. Obviously, no one compares to Freddie. I think he was nervous. That was a big thing.
It would be really tough to be in that room. There's a couple of shots where they show the auditorium and you see the floor, the people who are close by, and then you see the second deck and the third deck and the fourth deck, and you go, how big is that place?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's the most elite people in Hollywood.
Exactly.
So it's a bad place to not do well. You really, really want to do well if you're doing anything there.
Yeah, and I didn't pick up that he didn't do great. I don't know what
I thought he did really good, too. He's not going to embody Freddie Mercury. So I think once you relegate yourself to the fact that that's the case. But I know, it'd be nice, but...
Well, I know. I just...
I mean, it'd be like showing up at a guy's funeral and trying to outperform him.
I've tried.
Which we've all done. Who hasn't done
that? I'd still go see Queen with him.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, he did all right, I guess. He's just no Freddie. I loved it. I was rocking. So was everybody in that audience. Although, Mary, I agree, too short.
It was too short.
And I wanted a different song.
Why didn't they do Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
that's too long.
Well, they could have done the radio edit.
Yeah, I am surprised it didn't go on a little bit longer. Maybe they were just so unsure, because I don't know that an Academy Awards presentation has ever opened with a song before. It always opens with the host coming out and doing, sometimes the song is part of it.
Yeah.
But you've never seen that opening before. All right, let's take a break and then more thoughts on last night's Academy Awards. Jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
This is our own Steve Bertrand. Scary good.
Freddie Mercury or Mark Martel?
That is Mark Martel, who provided the voice of Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. He sounds just like him. That's so good.
So can't Adam Lambert just have a little less of vibrato and a little more sweetness to his voice?
Call him and tell him. See what he says.
I'd still go see the tour.
Yeah?
Brian May. Roger Taylor, no John Deacon. He bailed a while ago.
He did, right?
Yeah.
What do you think he's thinking right now? The band's getting all this notoriety, and he's out.
Well, he was featured in the movie. That's all that matters. I don't think he has time for this.
No?
Ah, tour? No.
No time for that.
Paul Rogers, when Queen was touring before, was the lead vocalist. He's another great rock and roll voice from Bad Company.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to hear Paul Rogers still with them, but Paul's now getting Bad Company back together. Mm.
So getting back to the original idea here, you weren't thrilled with Adam Lambert because you didn't think he did what? What would you have done differently if you're him at the beginning of the show?
I just didn't like his shrillness.
I think if you're him, you have to try to figure out how much am I going to try to... You got to do it enough.
Your own take on it, I guess,
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah.
He does have an incredible range.
Yeah. Yep. What'd you like last night? What'd you see that you liked?
I love Lady Gaga. She can do no wrong. Just the classic Hollywood look with the upswept hair and just the black ball gown.
Right. You know what else is nice about her is that when she's just talking, because I've seen her do a couple of talk shows because of the movie or last night during her speech for winning the song. She really seems to be a champion of people who have been singled out as being different, and her constant message is, keep being different. Don't give in to that. And
she's
that's
the real
a great
deal,
message.
Too.
Yeah, I think so, too. But you know what's strange is, I think I told you this, I saw her on two different shows where she did this. She kept going back and forth between being so honest and so real, but then there was a weird kind of over Hollywoodization of her, you know what I mean, where she becomes so theatrical and so show businessy, but then she goes back to being real again. It's like every time you think you go, oh, she's like that, no, she's not, she's that way.
I'm gonna say something that's gonna irritate so many people right now.
This should be good.
Wait for it.
This, Steve, is going to be so good.
Listen, I love to start.
We're already getting tweets about whatever you're about to say. People are already tweeting.
How
can Wendy say this?
I loved A Star Is Born. I love Lady Gaga. The song's kind of stupid.
Ooh. Oh, Wendy. Take that back.
I like it.
The new national anthem.
You are the only woman in the world who didn't stop last night. Mary said she ran in from the kitchen when she heard it start.
I did. I heard the first chords and I thought, there it is.
Yep.
I like her voice. I like them singing together. I've heard better renditions of it, I got to be honest with you. But the song is I don't know, the chorus, the sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-lo.
Gaga added that weird la-la-la-la-la-la stuff.
Yeah, but you saw Bradley Cooper's little tongue going when he was sha-la-la-la-la. That bugged me.
That's the guys from the What's Up ads from Budweiser added that. They were involved in that. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-lo.
I'm glad she won. I loved the movie, but, you know.
That song was far and away, like, sometimes there's pretty sure bets during the awards. I don't know how that song couldn't have won. The other songs were all okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that one. Well, the Mary Poppins one was cute because of Bette Midler.
Yeah.
That was
the
only reason. And that country one.
Yeah.
What the
from
heck was
Buster
that?
Buster Scruggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was another one that was
that
really
his name?
Bad.
Yeah, the Ballad of Buster Scruggs is the name of the movie. So all those songs were just very, very, very okay. And then there's that song from Star is Born, which is just, you know, timeless. So Yeah, how could that not win?
It's kind of a stupid song.
Did those country singers just feel like they looked out of place? I mean, you could tell they were they had great harmony, but boy, they looked uncomfortable.
Yeah, a little bit.
They're like, what are we doing here in these weird outfits?
Even Casey Musgrave went, enough of this with the country music. Exactly. I'm not here for country music. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show. We'll do a little more Academy Awards talk later on in the show. I promise it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. We were talking about last night's Academy Award presentation, hostless. Do you think now this will be the model, like people will go, remember the Academy Awards from 2019? They didn't have a host. Everything was fine. Will that be the norm now? Will they all be hostless, do you think?
Be honest. Did you miss it?
I did.
Well,
I did miss it because that was always my absolute favorite part of the show. If it was good, right. The times it hasn't been good is when they put somebody in there. I've said this before. Hugh Jackman is amazingly talented. He should not have hosted the Academy Awards. In other years, they had James Franco and Anne Hathaway, and that was horrendously bad.
Worst ever.
Pretty close right to up it. There. Right up there.
But, you know, I'm really tired of, and this was the same with the Super Bowl entertainment, you know, the next day after big events, we just rip into things
right.
now. We
right.
tend to talk more about what was bad than what was good.
I know.
And that was always the case with the hosts, you know.
Yeah,
it almost
right.
always was, and it just gets so old.
I liked it this way. You still got to see your celebs come up there to present.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe I'm imagining things, but I felt like they gave them more time.
No, the time was still about the same.
It did. It felt like that to me too. When
yeah.
Early
yeah.
on.
The
I
time
think it was
element's
fine.
The same. It is fine. I just, that's always like from a comedy standpoint, that's
yeah.
one of the highlights of the year is if you're hosting the Academy Awards, there's Hollywood right next to you and you get to make fun of them to their faces. So they've taken away that. The other one is always the correspondence dinner, the Washington correspondence dinner. That's gone.
Yeah.
They don't do stand-up
for that
anymore.
It's a different world now, Bill.
I know.
It's not fun anymore.
It's not fun. The fun is over. Stop having fun, everybody. Those days are over.
For the first time last night, I was like, oh, really? Do we have to hear this award? I have to say I've always, you know, been a big supporter of all the ones we don't know that much about, but I think it was sound editing or sound
well, there are,
design
there are,
or something.
There are like, seven or eight categories that if you're not in the motion picture business, you just...
And that's where you need a host, because the host
right.
makes it entertaining through that stretch.
Right.
That's where you start watching 10 minutes, 20 minutes late, so then you can just fast forward. That's what you do. Come on, people!
There was a speech last night. The three people who won for makeup and hair.
Oh, I missed this.
They all came out. This was toward the very beginning of the show. So they came out. They won for Vice, I think, right, Steve? Is that something?
I don't
right?
remember.
So they came out, and the woman in the middle had a prepared speech, but the plan was for all three of them to read it off of her sheet.
And you could so tell that it was her idea.
Yep.
Because she was the one who kept pushing it, and no one else really wanted to do
nope.
it.
Nope.
Oh, that was Vice.
Oh,
yeah.
Awful. That was so awful
and
awkward.
She was the one where the guy couldn't read it.
Yeah.
And then she was like, whispering people's names in his ears.
Yeah. Say this.
Say it.
Oh, I kind of
say Grace Benton. I don't know who Grace Benton is. Just say it.
Tilda Swinton.
Say it. She wasn't in the movie. Just say her name, though. It seemed like it went on for 20 minutes. It didn't, but it seemed like it did. There was also this weird moment toward the beginning where, for Best Documentary, it was Free Solo, which I've not seen yet, but mm-hmm. everybody I know who has seen this says, wait till you see this movie. It's a documentary about a guy who climbs up mountains just using his hands. He doesn't use any kind of tools or anything. He can just use his hands. All right. So the documentary team wins that, and they had a very enthusiastic speech, right? They were so excited. But the woman said something about her family and mentioned one of her children, and she said, and I know he's here somewhere. And then everybody got really quiet, and my wife said, well, what happened to her son or her daughter? And I said, I don't know. And I tried looking it up online, and I don't know what that means.
Hmm.
It didn't sound good. Everybody got really quiet, but I don't know. I don't have an answer to what that meant.
Well, then I wasn't sure that she actually thanked the guy who climbed the mountain.
Right.
But yeah, I think maybe she did at the end.
It was a little... I know that when you go up there, you have nothing but the intentions of thanking everybody who's responsible for putting you up there. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But then you're balancing that because you're also saying a list of names where the millions and millions of people are, who are watching don't know who... You're just thanking people and you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, but we don't have time to get into, you know, my third grade teacher who put me in a play.
Right.
You know, you don't have time for
that. Right. Also, now you knew this would create a controversy because it does every single year. The In Memoriam segment, they always leave out a couple of people. And then those people's families and friends are upset, obviously.
But the guy with the cotton mouth who introduced it...
That's John Bailey.
Okay.
He's the president of the Academy.
Well, he needs mouthwash or something. He had cotton mouth really badly.
Okay, let's be. We're going to be positive now.
I know, but if that, this is a big thing that people turn
into... Do you think Adam Lambert should have done that part?
Yes, I think he would have done a great job.
Sung the names.
But he said something I noticed this year that it's like this is a portion of the people a representative.
Right.
I noticed that just in case there was an omission.
And remind me, because in years past, they have alluded to the fact that some names get applause and others do not, and they have said, "Don't react until the whole list is mentioned," because it just proves that even in death, everything is a popularity contest.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah,
because you're dead, you should be popular then, at least.
Right, right. I mean, come on, I died.
But if you watch the Academy Awards or any of the shows that do this In Memoriam segment, there'll be a bunch of people whose names are up there and there's no reaction at all. And then when Harvey Korman is mentioned, people applaud and go, oh, Harvey Korman's gone.
Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they're happy.
Happy that it's gone.
Harvey's gone.
Did Harvey Korman die this year?
No, years ago. Yeah. I just used that as an
example. I'm like, they forgot him.
No, that was years ago.
They put him in this year because they forgot him 10 years ago.
Right, right. All right, so they do the In Memoriam segment. Now, in recent years, they've had somebody singing a song, a very touching song, and it makes it even more three-dimensional. It was an instrumental this time, and
it was fine.
It was all right. It was fine.
Yeah, you know, do you ever watch Mozart in the Jungle?
I've not seen it.
Okay, it's a great series on Amazon.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's the conductor in that series is based on the conductor who performed last night.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And that, I thought, was a John Williams composition as well. I thought they said that.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. So who did they leave out last night that has people angry?
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton, who did not die, but people still said you should mention
her. She needs to be in every show.
She should be mentioned.
Can Pat jump in and maybe answer your question you asked? Pat?
Hi.
Hi. You want to clarify something Bill said?
Yes. Yeah, Bill was talking about the lady who was talking about Free Solo.
Yes.
And it looked, I heard her say, my kids are out there. But then she only mentioned one child's name.
Yes.
And there was a pause, and then the person standing to her left said another name, which I think might have been the other child's
name. Oh, I hope that's the case. Because I felt...
It was weird to me, too.
Because you felt the room get really quiet, like, oh, no, what do we know now? But it was never explained.
Well, they were waiting for the other kid's name to come out, and she never said another name.
All right. I hope that's the case.
And the other kid's name wasn't in the In Memoriam?
No.
Okay.
No. That would be horrible.
Pat, thank you for clearing that up.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
They would just say... The kid from...
The other kid. Yeah. That's all it would say. The other kid.
Oh, that would be sad. All right. So Stanley Donen, who is a director who's responsible for Singing in the Rain, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Wasn't that fairly recent?
Damn Yankees. Yeah.
It was over the weekend.
Maybe it was too late.
Maybe. Well, no, because Albert Finney just died a few days ago, and he was in there. And who else? Bruno Ganz, Wendy, the great German actor Bruno Ganz, who you're always talking about. He died last week. He was in there.
And so Stan Lee, different than this Stan Lee. Maybe the
right. It was Stan Lee from Marvel Comics. He was mentioned, but not Stanley Donen.
How about Peter Tork? Was he there? I missed it.
No, and I thought of that too, but that was pretty last minute.
He only did one movie, though.
Well, the Monkees Show.
At the Academy Awards, that's his only movie.
And Bill,
I've been in more movies than Peter Tork. They're not going to say me when I die.
You're a braggart.
Phil, don't rule yourself out yet. What if you die in spectacular fashion?
Then maybe I'll get a mention.
You know, knowing Bill's luck, they're going to forget him in the in memoriam.
I'm going to try to now.
I forgot to tell you, I think it was me.
Among those who wouldn't have made it had they not died in spectacular fashion.
MeTV had the two episodes that Peter was featured prominently in The Monkees. One of them when he sells his soul to the devil.
That's the creepiest Monkees
they
episode
ran it.
Ever.
I recorded it.
The Faust episode of The Monkees.
I meant to text you, I forgot, but I'm sure they'll rerun it.
It's so weird. All right, so Stanley Donen from Damn Yankees, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Charade, On the Town, Singing in the Rain, no mention, people are upset about that. Carol Channing, Wendy, the great Carol Channing, no mention at the Academy Awards.
That's a shame.
That is a shame. Now, people say, well, Carol was more of a stage actress. She wasn't really a film actress, but she was in a bunch of movies.
And she was the nominee, too.
Yes, for Thoroughly Modern Millie, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, I...
Thank you, Grandpa 1 and Grandpa 2.
You're welcome.
I say, I read that. I would not have known that. Bill, on the other hand...
did know it.
Steve and I are the old Muppets in the balcony.
Right. Yes.
We're Stetler and Waldorf.
Names? Yes.
Stetler and Waldorf.
It's funny, though, that Bertrand has to do an...
a disclaimer.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know that. I looked it up.
Right, that's fine.
I've obtained this geek information in the last 6 hours.
All right, we've got a couple more. Let's take a quick break and then more things that happened from last night's Academy Award. All right, it's Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about last night's Oscar presentation on ABC, the In Memoriam segment where they show you, sadly, all the great artists that have passed away, all the people connected with the movie industry who have passed away in the last year. I noticed last night, like in years past, most of the people that they show are either actors, actresses, or directors. Not always, but mostly. But then last night, there were a lot of technical people involved. Did you notice that, too?
Not really.
A bunch of people from behind the scenes. So people are still upset over the names that were omitted from last night's In Memoriam segment. This is an annual thing. Actually, not just the Academy Awards, but for the Emmys, for the Grammys, whenever they do this segment, people go, what about this guy?
Right.
What about her?
I guess I did notice that because I was amazed there were a lot of female editors that I was wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry they died.
Yes,
but
it, at least the industry is opening up a little bit. True, so true. All right, so we already mentioned Stanley Donen, the director, Carol Channing. How about Sandra Locke?
Oh, was
she
that
died
last
this year?
Yeah, this past year,
the first R-rated movie I ever saw,
which was what, Steve?
The Gauntlet.
Oh, with Clint Eastwood.
Yes,
her then boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, she should have been. Definitely.
She was nominated for an Academy Award in 1969 for The Heart Is a Lonely Hunter, which has Alan Arkin in it, the perpetually grumpy Alan Arkin, whose work I love, but he just does not seem happy anymore. I don't know what happened there.
She was on the outs with Hollywood, though, too, right?
Very much. She hadn't done a movie in years.
Well, but she also sued Clint Eastwood for...
a palimony case?
Being like blacklisted or something. Like she signed a development deal, I think, and
they didn't honor it.
Came from it.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, she died just this past November, so it's not like, you know, beginning of the year where maybe it's an oversight. That's
right.
Terrible. She should have been mentioned.
But, you know, people always say that. I bet it was just an oversight. But there are so many websites that list celebrity deaths where you can go through the year of any month of any year and see who's died. So it would take 10 minutes of research to put together a list of names of, you know, the Hollywood elite who have died.
Do they do this? So we'll talk more about it after the fact.
I think they do. I'm pretty sure that's why. Gary Kurtz, famous producer who is responsible for Star Wars and American Graffiti.
Who Jim said was left out.
Yeah, that's a big name. That's a very big name.
That's what he said.
They did not mention Aretha Franklin, who again is more known for her music than her movies, but she was in a bunch of movies.
Mm.
Blues Brothers.
I guess, yeah.
Arlie Ermey.
Yeah.
Right? From Full Metal Jacket, most notably,
that
but he did a bunch of other. Yeah.
Wow.
The guy who created. Now, this one's. I don't know. You tell me if this. Steven Hillenburg, who is the creator of SpongeBob.
Yeah, more TV.
I would do Emmys. Oh, I wouldn't do Academy Awards.
But there was SpongeBob movie.
There were a couple of them, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, some of these are, they're like fireworks displays. So you put people in, so they go, oh, right?
Right.
And that'd be the Full Metal Jacket guy. Or,
Right.
I never fails. And everybody does this. You go, oh, my God, they
that
died?
That guy died? Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was anybody like that for me this year. Was there somebody like that
I can't remember who it was, but I'm like, oh, they died. Oh,
yeah.
I can't remember who it was.
What about John Mahoney? He should have been in there probably, right?
I thought he died years ago.
Better known for his TV work because of Frasier, but he was in movies like, was it Moonlighting? Was that the movie with Cher and Danny Aiello? Is that Moonlighting?
Yeah.
Am I getting the name right? Yeah.
Or Mask.
It's funny you say that because I was looking up last night who Glenn Close lost to in all of her nominations, and one was to Cher, the year of Moonstruck.
Oh, right.
Moonstruck. That was such a
That might have been Fatal Attraction year or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Although that was good, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cher was awesome in Moonstruck.
Wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Without a
doubt.
And
Silkwood.
What about Vern Troyer? No mention for Vern Troyer. That's Mini-Me from the Austin Powers movies.
That's a shame.
And people will say, well, but other than those movies...
Who cares? He was in movies
enough.
And pretty popular movies.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I saw Mike Myers in the audience. Why didn't he run up and just
add that
yell?
In? Yeah.
What about
Vern Troyer?
$1 million.
Right. Aww. By the way, that little moment there with Dana Carvey and Mike Myers was very nice, I thought, as they kind of... showed the weird circle that was them singing the song in Wayne's World, and then it becomes a movie. And then Mike Myers, is in that movie as a character.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of a strange circle, right?
Full circle.
Yeah. Also, I have to say this. I'm not the biggest Tyler Perry fan normally, but I saw Vice over the weekend. It was, every year as the Academy Awards approach, I try my best to see all the movies. I don't know that I've ever seen all of them. I'm always missing one or two. So Tyler Perry is in Vice.
He is?
Playing Colin Powell, and he's fantastic in it. He's so good in it. Like, he's so good in it that I said, that guy looks so much like Tyler Perry, but it isn't Tyler Perry, but it was Tyler Perry. He was so good in it.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Did you see Vice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
I'm telling you, Christian Bale was so good. I forgot Christian Bale.
Oh.
And the little George W. done by, what's his name?
Sam Rockwell.
That was pretty good,
too.
Yeah,
very, very convincing.
They all were really good. That is Tyler Perry.
I know.
He did a great job.
That's the second time this year in a movie that I've said to myself, that can't be, and it's the person it is. The other one was Andrew Dice Clay in A Star is Born playing Lady Gaga's father. I thought he was so good, and I can't stand him. I think he's horrible. But in that movie, he was great.
Yeah. Was that in A Star is Born?
Yeah.
God, everything's blending together now for me.
I know.
It really is.
They say that happens at some point.
Shut up. I'm 6 months older than you. That's really not
a big
difference.
6 months. Yeah, it's an important 6 months. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a whole lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Those were the original lyrics, Wendy. I know you're kidding, but that was the original lyric. Carmelo Camara joins us right now. And when I heard Carmelo, that we were having Carmelo Camara on, I said, I love that Havana Unana song. So this will be a great chance to hear it live in studio.
Well, I haven't performed that live since I was in the talent show in
7th grade. For years. Carmelo is the owner of Camara's Comics in Oak Lawn and in LaGrange and is doing something very, very interesting with his shop. Tell everybody what you're doing.
Well, I've decided to I decided to give away one of my stores for free in an essay competition.
All right, so that sounds a little crazy. May I just jump in and say that
it's a lot crazy? I think, yeah. I have two stores, and we started publishing and stuff recently, and I'm very split in a lot of directions. I just got married, and so I realized
congratulations, because I know people were going to go, this guy's not married. Yes, he is. People can read comic books. I love comic books. I go to your LaGrange Chimera all the time.
Thank you.
Love it. And people were going to say, is this guy married? I'm just telling you. But you are.
Oh, you flatter me. I just got married, and I'm also a practicing attorney, and so I'm just, like, cut into too many pieces. And when I realized I had to get rid of one of the stores to do a better job, it was a tough call, but I had this idea that instead of selling the store, why not give it away? So people are like, oh, it's like Willy Wonka. And that's exactly
like Willy Wonka.
Yeah, and my name's alliterative, too, so it works perfectly, right? when I had that idea, I thought it was very exciting. So I know it's weird, and I know it's people are sometimes skeptical of things that are new and that they don't understand. But I am for sure going to give this away.
But I want to make it clear, you're not ripping off of Willy Wonka, and the fact that you're putting golden tickets and special comic books has nothing to do with
Willy
Wonka.
That's a complete coincidence.
Sure it is.
Yeah, trademark pending.
Yeah.
So this is an essay contest, and February 28th, I just want to throw that out there. That's the deadline. That's 3 days away. They have to get it to you, any particular amount of words in this essay, and what does it have to entail? Just why they want Chimera's comic book store?
No, that's a great question. So the essay is what makes a great comic book store? Mm. And they have to answer the question in 500 words or less. I'll take applications until the end of the day on the 28th or until I get 2,000 applications. If I get 2,000, I'll cut it off because I just cannot read that many essays. I already have the length of the first three Harry Potter novels to read in terms of word count, so I can't. I can't go much more than that.
So once they receive it, whoever wins this, how does stuff like the rent work? Is the rent paid off, or do they have to pick up the rent right away on the comic book shop? How does that work?
That's a great question. So we don't own the building. I'm not like the landlord at the building. So they'll have to reach their own lease agreement with the landlord. That's not mine to give.
Right.
You know,
right.
Same with accounts with distributors or things, you know, business licenses. I can't gift that to somebody. I'll do my best to provide guidance to whoever gets the store. I want them to be successful, but I can only give them what I have.
That makes sense.
You know, the inventory, the fixtures, the equipment, that stuff I can give.
Roughly how many comics are in the shop right now that they will inherit if they win this, would you say?
I'd say it's got to be in the tens of thousands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Wow.
My favorite part about comic books is I love putting them in a bag with the board. That, for some reason, that is just soothing
Classes
to me.
Them up.
I enjoy doing it. Yeah,
I know it
can
seem
help,
tedious,
by the way?
But always. I know it can seem tedious, but when you're a collector, there's something really cool about seeing all of your things and then taking care of them really nicely, putting them in order. It's just kind of the fun of having it.
Right. I know you can't give away absolute specifics, but as you're going through all these essays, what are a couple of things that you're kind of looking for that could help somebody?
Sure. Well, I'm looking for passion, first of all, because I believe that's what it takes to make a real niche like that succeed.
Yeah.
I'm looking for creativity, because there's a lot of comic book stores in the city, and there's a lot of great comic book stores, but you have an opportunity to stand apart. This isn't a cookie-cutter thing like some franchise restaurants where it has to be the same. This can be whatever you want it to be. And I'm also looking for work ethic, because I'm giving away a dream job, but it's a job and it's work. And, you know, if you think you're going to just sit behind the counter and read comics all day, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, that's only 90% of it.
Exactly. Market research.
Right.
The LaGrange one is pretty close to our house. So my younger son used to go there and play HeroClix. And it was really like anybody could just go in there, sign up, walk in. It was like a little neighborhood hangout. And my husband does a subscription series there where you can pick up monthly comics. I like Preacher. I like X-Files. You don't have to love superheroes to love comics, do you?
Oh, that's right. You know, comics are they're a medium, not a genre, and there's genres within that. So their superheroes are very visible, sure, but there's horror comics and sci-fi and fantasy, and there's really no limit to what could be told in that format.
We were talking about Stan Lee a little while ago. They mentioned him last night on the Academy Awards. That guy probably did more for the comic book industry than anybody else in history. Would you agree with that?
I mean, maybe not more than anybody, but I think certainly being as visible as he is, he definitely mainstreamed it in a way that no one else ever has. There's other writers and artists who've been as prolific, even if they aren't as, you know, visible to the public, because he had a big personality, right? And that he was infectious with his excitement and his love. So I think he's definitely in the top few, for sure.
A hard day when you heard about him dying? Was that a rough day in the comic book industry?
It was really sad, and I actually had, like my parents called me, I had friends, and they were like, are you okay? And I'm like, as if I had known him personally, but that's the impact that he had on me and so many other people.
Yeah.
Has Kevin Smith sent in an essay to try and get your comic book store?
I think Kevin Smith is still mad at me, because I reviewed Comic Book Men when it first started on AMC, and my review was not awesome, and so I think they may have a little bit of a grudge
there. Because the show is fairly unrealistic, is that why?
My problem with the first episode was that everyone was a little kind of mean-spirited,
yeah.
And the most interesting part of the show for me was when they were talking about the comics people were trying to sell and the social impact of those and why they were important, and then that was like the smallest part of the show, and I just didn't resonate with me. Maybe it was too real for me, right? Like, do you want to watch a reality show about your own life? That could be a problem, so...
All right, we're talking to Carmelo Chimera. Am I saying it right?
I think that's the pronunciation that'll make my dad happy.
Yeah. All right, perfect. You're giving away your Oaklawn Chimera's comic book store, 1,500 square foot shop. It's been open for 6 years. And now the inventory, the fixtures, all that stuff's going with it?
That's right. The inventory, the equipment, the fixtures, the software, and the associated 6 years of goodwill, I'm just going to hand it over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this what you thought, like, before you got into this, at some point you dreamt it, you said, boy, wouldn't that be fun to own a comic book shop? Is it kind of what you thought it would be, or were there any major surprises along the way?
I think it is what I thought it would be because I approached it with a lot of imagination. Everything I do, I try to say, like, well, why don't we tear down our preconceptions and why don't we look at things a little bit differently?
Yeah.
And the comic book shop really allowed me to do that. What I think I didn't expect was how limited I turned out to be in terms of my time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, I can have a business on the side while I'm writing and while I'm practicing law. And the truth is, like, there, you can do multiple things, but only to a point, right? And you can't do everything 100% all the time. So if you can't juggle that, life can get very complicated very
quickly. So most comic book shop owners are not also lawyers? Is that what you're saying? I always assumed
they were. I'm told it's a rarity. Yeah.
I thought they all were.
Okay. Although I'm thinking about you. You said you're 29 years old.
That's right.
You're an attorney. What the hell happened to us?
We gave up early.
Oh, I mean, I feel the same way, though. I look at my brother. He's 17. He just published his first book, The Crusader, and he got a traditional publisher picked him up. I started my own publishing company to do it, but he got picked up by a publisher, so I don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
That's pretty, for both of you, that's really good, though. That's amazing.
He's 17 and did
17.
This?
17, yeah. He's my best friend. He's my hero. He's fantastic.
Wow.
What's wrong with you? I mean,
wow.
You're so not common. I enjoy it.
Oh, thank you.
What's your brother's graphic novel called?
It's called The Crusader, and it's actually a young adult novel. It's a superhero origin story, and I liked it because with a lot of superhero origins, you know where it's going to end. You know that Clark Kent becomes Superman.
Sure.
You know he makes the right choices. But Nick really captured like how hard it is to be a teenager because he's living that life right now, and then he was able to take that and create a scenario where you really don't know that the character's going to make the right choices.
Right.
I really enjoyed it, and I was just so impressed that he was able to. He spent 2 years doing it. And it's on Amazon, The Crusader, and his name's Nick Chimera.
Yeah.
And, he's everything I want to be.
Oh, what a nice thing to say
that
about your
so
brother.
That is so sweet. We're going to take a quick break, and then you have a graphic novel that we want to talk about as well.
Well, thank you.
And where do people send their little essay, 500 words or less, as to why they want to own a comic book shop, and then they might be able to walk away with Chimera's Comics in Oak Lawn? Where do they get this info to you?
So they'll visit my website, chimerascomics.com, chimerascomics.com, and the link's right there on the homepage. I have instructions. There's a video. It's not hard. It's just checking out like any other store online, and you'll paste your essay in your order notes.
Pretty exciting, and we'll find out about your graphic novel yet next. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's 720 WGN. All right, we are talking about comic books, and I really enjoy reading them. Before Jimmy Mack and I got married, a good Saturday night would be laying in bed reading comic books, maybe with a beer, but it's always fun to do. We have the owner of Chimera's Comics in Oak Lawn and LaGrange, Carmelo Chimera.
Nice. I like the role there. Yeah.
And we go to the LaGrange store. It's right on LaGrange Road, right off the train, if you want to go there, anyone. And you also have an Oak Lawn store, but you're giving it away. With a 500 words or less essay, what makes a great comic book store? Are you then going to take this input and work to make the LaGrange store more of what people want?
You know, I hadn't even thought of that, but I'm sure there's a gold mine of great ideas that I would love to always improve the store. I hope whoever wins the Oaklawn store is someone that we can continue to work with and cross-promote and things like that, and that I can learn from, too.
Yeah, that would be nice. Are there other stores in the Chicagoland area or beyond that you have seen and you say, wow, are they doing it right? This place is fantastic.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And I'm always inspired. You know, obviously one of the biggest ones in the city is Challengers. Is a great store. I love First Aid Comics, and I know the owners there very well. Oh Yeah Comics in Skokie, we like to call it our sister store.
Yeah.
So those are all great shops. I visited a store called the Vault of Midnight in Michigan, and that store also just knocked my socks off. It was great.
All right.
I love the name, by the way.
It's cool, right?
It sounds very dark.
Very impressive name.
Like the Doomsday Dungeon or something. That's too dark.
Yeah.
So tell us about your graphic novel. Is it Magnificent?
That's right. That's my first graphic novel, and it's a superhero story about a character who is he's imprisoned, he's being experimented on, and when he escapes, he has to decide if he's going to take revenge or choose to be a hero despite all the bad things that happened to him. And it's a message I really believe in. I spent 9 years on that book. That's my first work. My next thing is coming out in a couple months is a horror book called Cellar Door. So we've got some good projects.
That's excellent. That's great. Last night at the Academy Awards, Black Panther became the first film ever, a comic book film ever, to be nominated for Best Picture. Does that surprise you that it took so long or that they finally got one in? What were your thoughts on that?
I had the thought last night that it's the beginning, I think, of a new era in comic book movies, because when they really first started coming out in droves in the early 2000s, they were just, I think, trying to mine these IPs for quick cash, and they weren't all great. And then Marvel started taking them more seriously, and quality control really locked down, and the movies got better, right?
Yeah.
Dark Knight, Iron Man came out in 2008. Things got better. This is now the next stage when people say, wow, we can take this material very seriously, and it'll be commercially successful, and it's okay to recognize it with awards.
Someone has texted in and said, ask about that comic that DC just canceled with Jesus. Jesus was a sidekick. Was it Starman or something? There was something in the news. Did you hear about this?
I think they're talking about a comic called Second Coming, and I'd heard they were going to put it out. I don't really know much about it except that they canceled it, but that it'll still come out, just not from DC Comics.
Oh, so then they just take it to their own distributor or whatever.
Yeah, they might take it to Kickstarter or something like that, like I've done, and a lot of creators are successful with passion projects like that on there.
Yeah, DC cancels comic book about a second coming of Christ amid the backlash.
Carmelo, someone in 708 wants to know, and I don't know, maybe I didn't hear this right, is there an application fee when you send in an application for this?
Yeah, there's a small application fee. It's $25, okay. You know, and there's a lot of good reasons for that I'm happy to explain, but it's nominal.
Yeah.
So they have to fill out the application fee, and as they do that, they can paste their essay.
And that's non-refundable.
It's a non-refundable application fee. You know, I get about 10,000 malicious spam bot attempts to log into my website every week, so I needed some, like, screener. I needed some kind of a paywall to screen that out. And I also wanted to screen out people who weren't serious. So like, again, it's nominal, but if you were going to throw in just to like see what would happen or throw in a joke or something, that's enough. Even though it's nominal, it's enough to say like, oh, well, I'm not going to spend the money just to poke fun at this guy.
And you're essentially buying a lottery ticket. I mean, there's something behind it. You're given some passion, but you're buying a chance at something bigger.
I mean, the lawyer hat in me has to say, well, it's not a lottery because it's not it's not a game of chance.
Right.
I think it's a little bit more like signing up for like a 5K. You know, there's administrative costs to running this sort of a giveaway.
Yeah.
And that's really what you're covering. But it's merit-based, 100% on the essay.
Good. That makes sense.
All right, and here's Terry has texted us from Mattoon. Is that how you say it?
Terry, yeah.
And maybe he wants to enter, because the deadline is the 28th. You can go to the website, which is chimerascomics.com, to register. Do this essay, 500 words or less. What percentage of your business is non-comics, meaning games or collectibles?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, right now for us, I would say it's maybe like 30, maybe 40%. It's something to remember in any business is the Pareto efficiency theorem, the 80-20 rule. You know, 80% of your output comes from 20% of your effort, and vice versa, right? Like 80% of your stress comes from 20% of the things in your life.
Right.
So, like, for instance, I used to do a lot more with gaming, but I don't know I didn't know anything about it. So I did a really bad job, and it was only 20% of my income, but it was 80% of my stress. So I started doing less of that. Now, if you were to come in and know a lot about gaming, for example, or toys or something like that, and you wanted to bring that passion in, it could certainly be more. This could have been half comic book store, half toy store. It could have been, you know, 90% game store, 10% comic book store. And the new winner can do whatever they want
with it. Up to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill, are you registering?
I've already registered. So some comic book shops really have a large inventory of older vintage comics, you know, stuff from the golden age of comics.
Sure.
Does your store have that or not? Have you stayed away from that?
Well, we do have some of the older vintage comics. We do not have a large collection of those. You know, most of the really hot key books, they move pretty quickly. We've sold the first Wolverine. We sold the first appearance of Spider-Man. That was a popular story when it happened. So when you get those things in, they don't hang around very often. I have a lot of back issue comic books, but not like the Silver Age, what I call the higher end stuff. The market trends toward graphic novels now.
Yeah, right.
I think there's people who are coming in genuinely interested in the stories. You know, they saw Ant-Man. They say, oh, I really want to read more Ant-Man stories. And they don't care so much about getting the older books as they do. Like, I just want the story. And the graphic novels are a nice collection all in one place. And so those continue to eat up the market share and just grow.
Is Archie still around? Because that was my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, resurging, right?
Well, it's a renaissance for Archie. Yeah, because they do, you know, the classic Archies, but then they have one that's more aimed at like a teen audience.
I got that one too.
Sophisticated. And then I think there's even like horror Archies and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Some of them can be pretty frightening.
But the most popular of all time is Little Lulu, right? No comic will ever eclipse Little Lulu.
Oh, that's why Little Lulu is painted in the front window of my store. Yeah. I have a tattoo of Little Lulu on my chest.
Look at that. That's beautiful.
What about Little Jinx? I like Little Jinx.
I actually haven't heard of Little Jinx.
Richie Rich, that was the whole Archie spinoff, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Richie Rich, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Josie and the Pussycats, I think all come from the Archie universe. Yeah.
All right, so someone else.
Are those Harvey Comics? Is that who put those out?
Oh, yeah, that does sound familiar, but I think the company now is actually just called Archie Comics.
Oh, are they?
I think they just call them what they are, yeah.
For some reason, we only read those when we were taking a car trip somewhere. I have no idea why, but my parents would only get those for us if we were driving somewhere. I can't figure it out.
That's kind of the fun about comics is there's so much nostalgia there that you never know what's going to quite remind you of something like that.
That's
so
true.
Cool, yeah.
That is what the good, nice feeling is about comics. And perhaps someone listening wants to own their own comic book store. Now is your chance. Chimera's Comics in Oaklawn, giving away the shop to someone who will love it. Someone with passion and ideas and ambition to make this store amazing. That's what you said. Carmelo Chimera, good luck to you. Again, the website where people can do enter until the 28th, so 3 more days.
That's right, chimerascomics.com, C-H-I-M-E-R-A-S comics.com.
I noticed the deadline is right after the mayoral election, so you'll probably get some runover. Some people who didn't win the mayoral thing will probably be applying to you. Just be ready.
That's right. The backup plan, if you can't be the mayor of Chicago, own Chimera's Comics.
Yes. Everybody's happy. Thank you, Carmelo. Great to see you.
Thanks Good for luck. Having me. I appreciate it. Great
All
to
right,
meet you.
More after this. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Wendy, I know it's cold outside. You can't quibble with that. It's cold outside. That said, how nice was it this weekend to turn on WGN Radio and hear the sounds of baseball? Did you get to hear any of that?
I did. I loved hearing Ed Farmer and DJ. It did make me think, although it was sort of kind of warmish over the weekend. Maybe not bad.
Warmer than it is now, but baseball
the sunshine.
Made it felt warmer because there was baseball on.
I guess it was raining actually here, so never mind. I was envisioning sunshine listening to them. I had the windows down.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're very brave.
Convertible. I don't even have a convertible.
The White Sox got off to kind of a troublesome start, gave up 4 runs in the first inning. Never a good sign, but it's one game. It's a practice game. It's baseball. Everything will be good. Everything will be good. Now, I bring this up because there's a story about two baseball players that I can't figure. I love strange stories, and I love baseball, and here's a convergence of the two. There are two baseball players, both minor leaguers, both have the same name, Brady Feigl, and they look exactly the same. Have you seen these guys in any news shows in the last week or so?
No, but what are you saying?
Well, everybody assumes, because it's such an unusual name, and they both have a kind of a strange look, they both have kind of red curly hair. They both have similar glasses. They're both the same height. I mentioned the part about the same name. So everybody assumes, they go, well, these guys are obviously related. It's a strange name. It's an unusual look. but they have done DNA testing, and they don't have, they're not related. They have similar lineage. They both have a German background, but they are not, everybody assumed immediately, well, they're probably, there's probably a situation where they were born together, they were twins, they were like separated.
What's that show? Three Identical
Strangers.
That's a weird and crazy story. But yeah, I could see where people might have thought this.
Have you put up the pictures of them?
Yeah,
Are you looking at the pictures? Here's the story. Two minor league players are causing some major league confusion because of their names and their looks. Brady Feigl is a 6'4" pitcher for a single A affiliate of the Oakland A's. Meanwhile, Brady Feigl is a 6'4" pitcher for the Texas Rangers AAA club. So same name, same height, same look. Same age, by the way.
They have got to be related. I'm sorry.
Have you ever seen two guys look more alike?
And here's the thing. Like, I don't know when these pictures were taken, but they wear their beard the same way.
Yeah.
They've chosen the same sport glasses.
Right.
That's weird.
Everything's the same. Same position. We mentioned pitchers. Both Bradys have red hair. Both Bradys sport red beards. Both Bradys favor thick glasses. This according to Inside Edition. Even stranger, both of them underwent Tommy John surgery and used the same doctor.
All right, that's creepy. These are aliens. They have been put here from another planet to find out what baseball is.
Yes.
American pastime, find out what it's all about. Bring it back to our homeland, our planet.
Despite the similarities, the Feigls don't believe that they are long-lost twins who have been separated at birth or even related at all. However, Inside Edition decided to let science make the final call. They gave both Brady Feigls a DNA test. It turns out they had one big similarity, the one I mentioned. The Feigls shared the same amount of Germanic ancestry, 53%.
They don't look German. I mean, they look Irish. Come on.
Do you think more Irish than German? Yeah?
Yeah, they're red hair, fair complected.
Yeah.
They look pretty Irish to me.
However, no shared DNA means that they aren't actually related to each other. We're still brothers in a way, said the Brady Feigl who plays for the Texas Rangers. To which the Brady Feigl who played to the Oakland A's replied, and we're always going to be Brady Feigl. Well, yeah. They weren't going to take that away from them, though.
Brady's Feigl.
Because
there's two of them.
Oh, that would be more accurate.
Yeah.
That would absolutely be more accurate.
But, you know, they say, and if you watch that three separate, I can't remember the
three
name.
Identical Strangers.
Okay. They are trying to, I don't want to give much away, but, you know, they're trying to figure, you know, nature versus nurture.
Right.
But if you have the same genes, like they had the same kind of sense of humor, they smoked the same kind of cigarettes.
Right.
These guys, not everybody has a beard like that.
That they wear almost identically.
Yeah.
Right.
Their ears look the same. Although that could be glasses and a baseball cap pushing them out a little bit.
But still, if these two guys were in a room with 50 other guys, and you said, pick out the two guys that look the most alike, more than likely, these would be the guys you would choose. Right? Their look is that similar. I still remember when I was a kid, there were one or two instances. I'm trying to think of the names. Dave Roberts. There was a Dave Roberts who played for the Padres, and at the same time, there was a Dave Roberts who played for the Tigers. So they had the same name, but they played different positions. They didn't look alike. There was and Dave Roberts, let's be honest, is a very common-sounding name.
Yeah.
Brady Feigl.
Not so much.
Yeah, not at all.
I don't believe them. Although, why wouldn't they admit if they, I guess.
But what a great hoax this would be. Not that we live in a time where hoaxes are a thing, Wendy. But let's suspend belief for just a little bit and say sometimes there are hoaxes. This would be impossible to pull off.
It would be. That's freaky.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
If you were one of the Brady Feigls, wouldn't you say to your mom and dad, tell me the truth. Did something happen? Because this guy looks like me. He's got the same name, the same occupation, the same height, wears his hair the same, his beard the same. Something's up.
Yeah, but they did a DNA test. It's not like their parents are lying to them.
Right, right. No, the Feigls are good people, Wendy.
Feigl?
The Brady Feigls.
Oh.
I don't mean to imply that they would do or say anything that was wrong. All right, we'll take a break.
Weird.
We'll come back, and then there's more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. We'll be right back. All right, here's the game plan, everybody. In about 12 or 13 minutes, Wendy and I will head toward the stream for a segment we call the Bonus Hour. It's 60 minutes of bridled, unbridled hilarity, Wendy.
Sometimes
it can't be bridled. Today it will be unbridled. I just looked at the schedule. So that's us on the stream. Go to WGNradio.com. Find out how to get to the stream. I think you'll enjoy it. Steve Bertrand will stick around and do the Wintrust Business Lunch for that hour, 12 to 1. Did you see the story about Donald Trump and his plans for the 4th of July?
No, but I can wait.
He's having
a barbecue?
Much bigger. Much, much bigger. I will warn you, people who like Donald Trump will get very defensive about this, and people who do not like Donald Trump will point at him and laugh at him. Democratic lawmakers mocked Donald Trump on Sunday after the president announced his plans to throw, and I quote, one of the biggest gatherings in the history of Washington, D.C., on the National Mall, and that will help celebrate the 4th of July. Hold the date, all caps. We will be having one of the biggest gatherings in the history of Washington, D.C., on July the 4th. It will be called a salute to America and will be held at the Lincoln Memorial. Trump tweeted that earlier yesterday. Major fireworks display, entertainment, and an address by your favorite president, me. Shortly after the announcement went live, social media users began pointing out that Independence Day is a federal holiday and that such an event already takes place every year in Washington, D.C. There's an annual free concert and fireworks held on the National Mall and a parade on Constitution Avenue. So who's going to tell him? Asked George Kenneth Butterfield, a Democrat. He tweeted that. Eric Swalwell, added, if this goes well, I think we should follow it up with a big party in Times Square the night before New Year's Day. This is actually an excellent idea, and I think the whole country should get behind the celebration on July the 4th, said Senator Brian Schatz of California.
Past tense.
While Butterfield, Swalwell, and Schatz sarcastically mocked Trump, Bobby Rush from our state, Illinois, used the tweet to remind citizens that the House will vote on Tuesday on a resolution to block the president's national emergency declaration. Hold the date. House Democrats will do our constitutional duty to protect our system of checks and balances and take action against Donald Trump's violation and Congress's constitutional authorities. So when you hear him do this or you see him do this, you say to yourself, he must already know that the 4th of July is considered a fairly big day, not just in Washington, but nationwide. Why is he acting as though this is something that no one's ever thought of before? It's been going on forever.
Because if you're a fan of Donald Trump, anything he says is new and novel and awesome.
Yes.
And if you're not, and I mean, I guess that goes with the other territory, too. If you liked Barack Obama, you know, he would say something, and people, if you're a fan, you'd go, oh, that's awesome.
But nobody just nudged him and just went, sir, you know, with all due respect, this is something that was already kind of in the works. We've been doing it. People love it. We're not going to stop doing it.
You're asking me, because I don't know the answer to these questions.
I also, as long as we're talking about him, a barber in Hanoi, this is in Vietnam, is giving away free haircuts to customers. If you come into his shop in Hanoi, and you tell him that you either want to look like him, Donald Trump, or Kim Jong-un, he will cut your hair to match your request, and he will do it absolutely free. It's times like these I wish Hanoi was closer, because I would definitely go in and get myself a Kim Jong-un haircut. At a barbershop tucked away in a small Hanoi alley, Lee Fuke, can I say that on the radio, Wendy? I hope I can.
Just once.
Patiently waits for his hair dye to bleach his natural black into the color of the President of the United States.
What color is that, by the way?
That would be...
Tangerine. Tangerine dream?
Yes. Tangerine nightmare.
Orange sorbet?
It's a very... It's a color you don't see...
Kraft single?
Yeah, let's go with Kraft single. Let's definitely go with Kraft single. On a chair next to him, a 9-year-old, Toga Hoi, emerges as the spitting image of a miniature Kim Jong-un.
Why?
I don't know.
In the words of Nancy Kerrigan.
I don't.
Why?
Yeah, you got to scream it to sell it. I think because Kim Jong-un has a hard time finding anybody around him to tell him that whatever he says or does isn't a good idea. So I imagine, much like the Emperor's New Clothes, when he first got that haircut, everyone around him applauded and went, well, now that's the haircut for you. You look fantastic. But for the rest of us, it's a hard sell.
And I saw.
Let's face it, Kim has a little reputation. You say something unkind to me,
you disappear.
I have you torn apart with a 50 caliber machine gun.
That happens.
So you're not going to tell him anything. You're just going to go, yes, sir, you look wonderful.
The 9-year-old went on to say, many people say that I look like Kim Jong Un. Well, it could be the haircut, maybe, especially when I have this hairstyle. He said.
Well, no, I almost swore.
This is from Duh Magazine.
Duh Magazine.
He was unable to hide his excitement that Kim is coming to the Vietnamese capital next week for his summit with Donald Trump, and he hopes for a chance to see him in person. This is the 9-year-old that we were talking about. As the summit frenzy shakes Hanoi, hairdresser Lee Tun Dong has joined in, offering free Trump or Kim-style haircuts, so far to only a dozen customers. Wendy, if you were given the choice, let's say in Hanoi, and for free you can have your hair cut like either Donald Trump or Kim Jong-un, which would you choose?
Sinead O'Connor.
Not mentioned at all in the story, not even once.
And, you know, I was watching some old video, God, I don't know where I was seeing it, of Donald Trump on the Oprah show, and it's a handsome guy. I mean, his hair was decent.
Yeah.
I just don't just put it how it's supposed to be.
You don't think this is how it's supposed to be?
Not really.
No?
I don't think his hair thinks this is how it's supposed to be.
He said, so far, this is the barber talking, Lee Tuan Duong, he said that Kim's hairstyle shows youth. does it, though?
Yeah, toddler.
Toddler. Right.
Who did his own hair.
Wow. Wow. And that Trump's hairstyle displays power.
Yeah, we equate it with power.
Yeah?
I guess.
But, he added, David?
What about any description of Kim's suits?
No, there's nothing mentioned at all about his suit, sadly.
Oh,
nothing.
Because that could be a field day.
This is just
Spike Lee would like to borrow it, though.
Oh. I did not think you would do that.
Whatever.
One day
David
later.
Jennings brings out the worst
One day
in me.
Later.
Moi? I am a paragon of innocence and virtue.
He went on to continue, but Kim's style, Kim Jong-un, is a
like
lot
Gangnam Style.
Yeah. Yes. Is a lot more popular among customers.
Well, it's in Hanoi.
You're right.
No wonder.
Yeah, locally, that's going to be what wins, right?
Yeah.
Locally, you would think. Hai, who is a motorcycle taxi driver. Hi Wendy. Went for Trump's orange because he confessed, I really like Donald Trump, so I have to have his hairstyle.
There are a lot of people I like.
But you wouldn't, right?
I wouldn't go and get blonde hair extensions. It wouldn't go well with my bald head. And Wendy would get very annoyed with me.
As much as David loves Jennifer Aniston.
I'm kidding. David would look silly
with a Jennifer cut?
Yeah, the Rachel.
The Rachel cut? David, you can't pull that off. You know that.
Yes, I know, which is why I wouldn't do it.
Just because...
You know, it looks great. Yeah, well, it looks great on you.
Right.
It's like wearing an article of clothing that you see someone in who is a size 0.
Right.
And then you go, well, they make it in a size 12. Okay, it'll fit me. And it's like, not exactly like the 0 will.
Remember when...
On someone who's a 0.
Remember when Pete Rose and Nicholas from 8 is Enough decided to have... They both admired each other so much that they went for a haircut together and they got the same cut. And at first we liked it, and then we went, this isn't good for anybody.
Right.
This is not going to work. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news. We're headed toward the stream. Come along with us. It's so much fun. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with David Jennings. That's all happening right here, 720 WGN.